This is Central Time. Wisconsin is a big part of the local food scene, but did you know that we're also a leader in local investing? Locavesting, as our guest calls it, is gathering momentum around the country.
She says that locavesting isn't just about feeling virtuous. It's actually a moneymaker that helps your local economy and your bank account.
Amy Cortez joins us now. She's the former editor of Business Week and the author of Locavesting, The Revolution in Local Investing and How to Profit from It. She'll be in Madison on December 3rd to headline an event sponsored by Forward Community Investments. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica.
I want to start with Locavesting 101. What is it?
Okay, well, first the name. Yes, I made it up. And it's sort of a play on the term locavore. So if locavores eat a diet, a locally sourced diet, I'm talking about investing that way.
Well, with local eating, the idea is that you don't overtax the environment, you support the growers who live near you, and you maybe come away with a deeper investment in what you're eating. Is that the same basic argument for locavesting?
Sure, that's part of it. I mean, there's something broader going on, and I think a lot of this started in the food area because people, you know, were going to farmers markets and just wanting to feel more connected to their food producers and know where their food is coming from. And it's the same idea with investing. We've got this global, disembodied financial system, and we've really lost any sense of connection between our dollars and what they're invested in. So this is a way to kind of put that connection back, create a more intimate form of investment, and just like food can be sustainable, finance can be sustainable as well.
Why do you think that investing locally is picking up speed right now?
A lot of reasons. I mean, one of the major catalysts was the financial crisis, and I think a lot of people were just, you know, kind of outraged with the behavior of big banks on Wall Street, which took us to the brink of economic collapse, got a huge taxpayer bailout, and then just kind of skated away. And in fact, that taxpayer money was intended to encourage them to lend more. And instead, they did the opposite. They pulled back. They cut lines of credit for both businesses and individuals. So what we've seen since the financial crisis is a real credit crunch and funding crunch for small businesses. And these, you know, this is important because these small businesses and locally owned businesses are really the nation's true job creators.
You've said that Wisconsin is at the cutting edge of locavesting and that it's become a leader when it comes to the locavesting movement. Why is that? What's going on in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you have a lot going on there, and I'm excited to be visiting in a week or so. Yeah, well, and I'll start with Forward Community Investments, since they're hosting me there. And so FCI is an example of a community development loan fund, and this is one of the easiest ways that people can begin to invest locally and sort of, you know, dip a toe in the water by putting money into a revolving loan fund like Forward Community Investments have. It's kind of like a CD. You get, maybe 2% returns on your money, but you know that your money is very safe and it's being invested in enterprises in your community. And in fact, I'll be speaking at the Goodman Community Center, which I believe that Forward Community Investments helped to fund. So most areas do have a community development loan fund like that, but Madison has a lot more going on. I mean, first of all, you have the Green Bay Packers, right, the only community-owned NFL sports team. But you also have things like the Lion. There's a Madison Local Investing Opportunity Network run by Rebecca Ryan, and that's an idea that originated in Washington State, but it's when a group of residents get together and decide to invest their money locally. And they don't invest as a group, but companies in the region know that they can come to that group when they're looking for funding. So we've seen these crop up across the nation. There are about half a dozen of them now, but you have a very good one in Madison. You also have Slow Money Madison, and in my book I wrote about the Willie Street Co-op, which raised money from its members when it wanted to expand. Organic Valley raised $43 million from people who care about organic food when it expanded. So you have a lot going on. And, of course, the latest news is the crowdfunding bill that was signed into law just a week or so ago.
Right. And that was apparently only one of we're only one of three states that facilitate crowdfunding for in-state businesses. How does that work?
Yeah, so that's interesting. It might be helpful to just back up and clarify what crowdfunding is. So I like to think of it as the marriage of finance and social media. So instead of a business having to go to a bank or a venture capital firm or some institutional investor, they can reach out to their biggest fans, their customers, their friends and families, their supporters. And they can do that over the internet. So there are two basic types of crowdfunding. There's the donation and rewards type, where you're giving money in return for maybe a product or, you know, a T-shirt or some kind of reward. But there's no financial return. So we have lots of companies like Kickstarter is a very popular example of that type of donation crowdfunding. But there's also coming onto the scene what's being called equity crowdfunding or investment crowdfunding. And this was ushered in by the Jobs Act of 2012. Was signed into law in April 2012. And I was really honored, actually, to be in the Rose Garden for that signing. And I can tell you there was such an air of excitement when that law was being signed, because it really is the biggest and most transformational change to our securities laws since they were enacted in the 1930s. And without getting into a lot of detail, because securities laws are not a lot of fun, but before the Jobs Act, it was easier for most Americans to invest in a company halfway around the world than one in their own backyard. So that's not to say that all crowdfunding is local, but there are local forms arising, and I think it's just a really great tool that can really further local investing. So that's the Jobs Act. Now, as I said, it was signed into law in April 2012. The SEC just last month came out with the proposed rules that they were required to write that will govern this new industry. Now, those rules look pretty complicated, pretty onerous. And, you know, if you look at the range of Kickstarter, which is very simple and unregulated, to what we might have done here, it's more Merrill Lynch than Kickstarter. It's going to be heavily regulated.
All right. Well, I want to get into what the investors can get out of it when we come back. We're talking with Amy Cortese. She's the author of Locavesting, The Revolution in Local Investing and How to Profit from It.
And we welcome your questions and comments about how this works. And if you are a Locavester, someone who invests in local businesses, startups, why do you choose to put your money into local businesses? Or are you a local business person who's trying to start something up with local investors? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We're talking with about the local investing movement that's picking up steam here in Wisconsin and beyond. Our guest is Amy Cortese. She's the author of Locavesting, The Revolution in Local Investing and How to Profit from It.
And we welcome your questions, your comments on this. And are you a Locavester? Do you invest locally? Why do you choose your money to put your money into local businesses? Call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org.
Now, Amy, I want to look at the profit part of this. For somebody listening who's going, yeah, I could put my money into something local. I have to put a little more legwork into it, possibly, and I might not get as big a return as I would get from hunting big game on Wall Street. So where's the profit when you invest locally?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, and it's not easy to answer because it really depends on the situation and the investment. So something like a community development loan fund, which we started out talking about, that pays a steady, safe, you know, low 2-3%. Some of them go up to more than that. And, you know, frankly, in times of economic downturn, which we recently went through one, these actually end up being very good performing safe investments, and they're not linked with the volatility of the stock market. But, you know, let's take the Willie Street Co-op, and a lot of cooperatives do raise money this way from their members, and they often pay a dividend from like 6-8%, which is also very respectable. And Lions, you know, that can be a loan, it could be an investment, and, you know, these can range from low to, you know, a very good market rate or higher type return. So it really all depends.
And what would you say to someone who wanted to start off? What would be a good way to do this?
That's why I said I think the community development loan funds are one of the easiest ways that you can kind of dip a toe in the water of local investing. They're safe. They're not scary. Almost every region has one. And if anyone's listening from outside of Madison online, you can find a community development loan fund in your area by going to the Opportunity Finance Network, .org. They have a CDFI locator. So that's the easiest way. I always recommend banking locally as well. But I think with crowdfunding, we have a really exciting new opportunity here for people, and especially in the state of Wisconsin, which, as you said, is one of only three states that right now allow this interstate crowdfunding. And it's very new, so I don't know if anyone's taken advantage of it yet, but for example, in Georgia, there are now, which was one of the first two states to move on this, there are now two crowdfunding platforms that let any Georgia business raise money from any Georgia resident. And I think we'll see more of those.
Great. And yes, we are a statewide network, so lots of people all over the state who could be interested. And let's go to Jeannie, who is calling from Madison. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about an organization that we have here in Dane County called Dane Buy Local. We have 750 locally owned independent businesses that are our members. We cover Dane as well as the seven surrounding counties. It's a good, great way for local independent businesses to meet other folks that are as passionate as they are. We offer networking opportunities as well as access to resources for those businesses. We don't make any loans, but we can tell them who might be able to help them out.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Jeannie. And Amy, are you seeing lots of organizations like that cropping up?
Yes, I am, and I think the Buy Local organizations like Dane Buy Local really have an important role to play, and they already have played an important role in raising awareness about the importance of small business. And, you know, the Buy Local campaigns and the 10% shifts. So shifting 10% of your purchasing to locally owned businesses can really benefit your community, I think the same is true for investing. So I think organizations like that can play a big role in continuing to raise awareness, but also bringing people together, as she mentioned.
Now, you've said that people can make a big difference by putting just 1% of their money into local businesses. How would that 1% change things?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to be clear that I'm not suggesting that anyone put all of their money in locally owned companies, because the key with investing is you want to diversify. And, you know, let's face it, small businesses can be risky. But if you look at, on a macro scale, if you look at our investments in the U.S., Americans have $30 trillion invested in long-term securities. So our, you know, IRAs, 401ks, pension funds, things like that. And almost all of that, by default, is invested in the stocks and bonds of large publicly traded corporations, because when you fill out your 401k form, there's no box to check for local companies, right? I mean, we just are not set up to invest that way. So right now, we systematically underfund locally owned companies, and these are companies that create jobs and really do so much for our communities in terms of creating wealth and well-being. So if you think about a 1% shift, just a 1% shift from, you know, where our investments are now into locally owned companies, that would represent $300 billion. And to put that into perspective, that's more than the entire value of loans outstanding to small businesses today, and it's about 10 times the amount of venture capital invested annually. Hmm. So a little bit can make a big difference.
How do you measure the success of locavesting?
That's a good question. I mean, there's certainly growing mind share. People are really talking about this, and I think the whole crowdfunding law changes are really giving it a lot more traction as well. But I think it's, it's hard to tally because it's very grassroots, and it's happening at the community level. And I hear stories all the time from people, who got inspired and invested in a local business, and these things have a major impact on the local economy. So I think it's just all of the, you know, the lion groups cropping up and the spread of slow money chapters and the increasing popularity of community development loan funds. I'd love to find a way to quantify it, but I think it's just so grassroots that it's kind of hard to get a sense of how much is actually happening.
Now, with local eating, a big part of what people say is that I get to look my farmer in the eye and I get to talk to them and I know them as a person and I feel differently about the food that I'm eating. Do you think that same thing is true about investing locally, that you get a closer tie with that business and it feels personal?
Yeah, it's very personal. I'm on the board of our local Slow Money chapter here, Slow Money NYC, and I see this all the time with people who, it's only for accredited investors, this one, so I unfortunately cannot participate in that, but I talk to, and I see all the time, investors who really have this connection to the entrepreneur and the small business or the farm that they've invested in, and they really, you know, in addition to, earning a financial return on it, they also feel really good about it and can actually see its success and share in the success. And the really wonderful thing for the businesses, by the way, is that these people who are your investors, the line kind of blurs between customer and investor, and they're just out there, you know, they're your brand ambassadors, talking up your business, they're, you know, bringing their friends and their family in. So it's really kind of a win-win versus a winner-take-all kind of relationship.
All right. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, and I look forward to visiting.
That was Amy Cortese. She's the former editor of Business Week and the author of Locavesting.